In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I can pretty much guarantee that when I go home tonight and I'm taking my nap before getting up and going to bed, you got to let the TV watch you for a little bit and wake up and go to bed, right? But I'll tell you, the thing I will not be watching, or for that matter, will not be watching me, is the Oscars, even though it's Oscar night. I'd rather look tomorrow and find out who won and then look at all the pictures, and that way I can scroll through the pictures of the pretty dresses without having to hear commentary about it. Anyway, in that great big spectacle that is Hollywood at its finest, or not, I think we come face to face with some of the things that this world cherishes more than the things maybe that perhaps they should. We'll get more into that in a minute. The context for our gospel reading this morning, of course, is Jesus and his saying, "I am the bread of life." Okay, well, it says, started out, Jesus replied. Well, Jesus replied to who? Well, Jesus replied to the maddening throng. So here it is, it's almost Passover. And this particular morning is right after, it's the morning after Jesus has fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes. Oh, didn't want to take the cough syrup with the codeine, otherwise I'd be sleeping back there. Anyway, it's the morning after, and the people have woken up, and they're still hungry. And so they come to Jesus. They said, "Well, he fed us lunch and dinner yesterday. Maybe he's got breakfast this morning." Like Jesus is running a drive-in diner of sorts. But they come down and say, "Jesus, we're hungry. You got anything for breakfast this morning?" And instead of feeding them, he starts talking to them about how he is the bread of life come down from heaven. So now the hungry people are hungry and confused. They're like, "Wait a minute, this is Jesus. This is Joseph and Mary's kid. We grew up with him. We all went through bar mitzvah with him. What's he mean he came down from heaven? This boy, yeah, he was born in a barn, but, you know, it's like, this is Jesus." So in their confusion, and they're still being hungry, they've changed from being hungry to being hangry. That's that marketing genius that Snickers came up with, the hangry commercials. The mix of hungry and angry makes you hangry. And since it's Oscar Sunday, I think about the celebrities that had to be really good sports to do those commercials. You got people like Betty White and Aretha Franklin and Liza Minnelli and Robin Williams and Roseanne Barr and Richard Lewis and Joe Pesci, just to name a few. And it's always they're in some role that is not theirs. I was watching the Betty White one this morning where she's out playing football. God bless her heart. And she's just not doing it. And they say, "Here, eat a Snickers. You're not yourself when you're hungry." As funny as those commercials are, there is some deeper truth in there that is more than just the entertainment value of 30 seconds of fame. It is true that when we are hungry, we are not ourselves. Now, the Snickers commercial talks about physical hunger, or for that matter, physical cravings, which is the kind that the people who were talking to Jesus were feeling. They woke up, they were hungry, they came to Jesus, they were looking for physical food. Jesus instead, though, spoke of feeding a spiritual hunger, When we do not feel like we are being spiritually fed, well, then we become spiritually hungry. And we start seeking ways to be fed in our souls. We seek to be fed in places where we have been fed before. Just like the people who had been fed by Jesus the loaves and fishes the afternoon before, they came back looking for breakfast. It's almost like he was running a bed and breakfast of sorts, campground kind of thing. Society does the same today. We return to the things that have fed us in the past, and unfortunately, many of those things, I'm afraid, become like false gods. Money. Working out or fitness, possessions, memberships, earthly things. The problem is the earthly things are temporary. And they do not guarantee the eternal life that Jesus does. So Jesus reminds the gathered throng that the ancestors ate manna, and yet they died. Now, why would he jump to manna? Well, it was on everybody's brain. This is right leading up to Passover. And so they knew that Passover, the gathered throng, it's John's gospel. We assume the audience, the original audience of the text, was Jewish. They knew that the ancestors had been saved in their from their captivity and slavery in Egypt. And all the plagues and Moses and the Passover and the exodus from Egypt, and the wandering in the wilderness for 40 days, and the fact that they were sustained in those 40 years in the wilderness, by manna that came down from heaven, because they said, God, we're going to die. We don't have anything to eat. And God provided them manna, physical food. But Jesus, remember last week I talked about how John is all about the compare and contrast? Here we go again. Jesus says, well, your ancestors ate manna, and that was physical food, and yet they died. He said, however, the bread I give is the bread of life, and whoever eats this bread, which is given in my flesh, will never die but have eternal life. Jesus spoke in metaphor. He did not mean that he was going to literally give himself to be eaten. He did not go from being bed and breakfast to barbecue here. No, rather, he knew that he was giving up his life. His flesh, so to speak, so that the people would have something they could firmly believe in, something they could firmly trust in. His sacrifice of his life, his flesh, it would and did become the bread of life that sustains those who hunger in spirit. So what does that mean for us today? Means we need to remember that we claim to be Christians and that we are free to do that because Christ first claimed us. It means that the sacrifice made for us makes all of the other little g gods, pale in comparison. Now, I don't mean I'm not saying it means we can't enjoy doing other things and we can't learn from the other voices that are out there in our world. But it is abundantly clear that there's only one food that will truly satisfy us spiritually. And only one big G God, in and through Jesus Christ, who was willing to give and sacrificed himself to feed us spiritually and to give us eternal life. So the question is, where do you put your treasure? Where do you put your time and your effort? And who do you take most stock in? Is it the news? Is it pop culture? Is it all those lovely people who will be in lovely dresses this evening, walking on that red carpet? Which, by the way, living in California puts that in a whole different perspective because, of course, Oscars here, you can have a big Oscar party and have a big dinner and then watch the Oscars. It's a three-hour time difference. It's right at dinner time that the Oscars are taking place because it's live. Anyway, but is that what we put our attention in? Or do we focus here first? There are plenty of distractions out there, guys, plenty of things that would love to take our undivided attention away from our focus on the journey to the cross and what happened there and what happened on Easter and what that means for us as faithful people. There are plenty of things out there that would love to take our attention away from the promises made to us in the book and in the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So then it becomes our responsibility then to recognize and say, whoa, okay, I can do this, but this is not the be-all, end-all of who I am and who I'm supposed to be and who I'm called to be. I can work in the food pantry, but that's not what makes me the be-all, end-all. I can come to church every Sunday, but if I'm not walking out the doors doing exactly what God called me to do, well, then I'm not doing it quite right. Ooh, I struggle with this. I'll be the first to admit it. I walk out the doors and I feel so non-pastoral, it's not even funny. Sometimes it's worse when I feel like I do. It's our responsibility to recognize the things that take our attention away from worshiping our one true God, big G. So may we always keep in mind and in heart the one who died and rose again for us so that we might live. May we strive to be people who are worthy of that sacrifice. We'll never quite get there because we're human, but we can strive for it. May we always try to live as those who have been fed by the bread of life, spiritually, not physically. And in turn, may we always live to be one who is more like the Good Shepherd, more like the light of the world, and more a reflection of the grace and the love that's shown to us in the bread of life. Because in so many, so many ways, those of us gathered in this room when we walk out those doors may be the only representation of Christ some people see. Now, if that's not a heavy burden, I don't know what is. But we don't carry it alone. Amen. We do not carry it alone. We do not walk this path alone. I don't say those words every week lightly. I'm not a person in this room who walks by themselves. So that's our call this week, to remember that we are called to be that reflection. God shines and we reflect. Amen. Oh, we can